And they're pretty impressed that I'm in the band. Because my other role with them is I'm actually the manager, but I'm the boss. Like, I can find them, I can tell them to do the paint style. You know, like. And I usually do the case by case basis and try and do the best deal for.
Good morning, good morning. Officially, good morning. Okay, let's find a seat and we're going to open in prayer here. Thank you, Father. And we say happy Mother's Day to everyone. So, Father, we thank you this morning that we can celebrate the mothers in this house, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God, for ministering, Father, this morning even to all the mothers, Lord. Lord, even those that are online, Lord. Lord, that you will minister to them. Hallelujah. And all the daughters, too. The sons and daughters, we pray for them, too, Lord God. Hallelujah, this morning, and we rejoice before you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. So this morning, we celebrate you, and we celebrate the mothers. And we give you all the praise and the glory. And all the people said, amen.
that is coming for the heart that holds on. Glorious life beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles until that day comes. We'll live to know you here on the earth. And I will fear no evil. For my God is with me. Yes, my God is with me. Whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh, no, he never let go through the storm, through the storm. Oh, no, he never let go every high and every low. Oh, no, he never let go. And I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. The glorious life beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles until that day comes. I'll live to know you here on the earth. And I will fear no God is with us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can walk right up to a giant and take him down because our God is with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
like us to sing just a little chorus part of Beautiful One I Love. The Lord says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I'm singing this over you too. So let's just sing that Beautiful One I Love and receive His love being poured into us in our hearts today.
Yes, Lord.
Beautiful One.
Oh, glorious how you are, the lover of my soul. Thank you, Lord. I never stop getting thirstier and thirstier as days go by. Oh, for a touch of you, I want more. I want more. I'm here, Lord. Have your way in our midst, O God. Have your way. Have your way. Let no flesh hinder what you want to do.
That was good. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, I want to just say happy Mother's Day to everybody that's watching online and all the moms that are in the house. And the Lord just bless you, mamas. Give you an awesome day. May you feel honored in your home by your family. And I just want to give a good report. Yesterday we had a ladies' meeting, and it was not a lot of people here, but it was awesome. We had a really awesome time of worship, and Mary gave such a good teaching. We learned about wisdom and kingdom principles and how to become women of excellence. And I'll tell you, you can hear it, you know, once, twice, but you never hear it too many times. There's always something that the Lord wants to tell us. And so our next ladies' meeting isn't going to be till June 17th. And so it's going to be the third Saturday of the month. And, you know, it's only setting aside 2 hours a month. And we're so blessed to have Marilla and Tanya here yesterday. Like, I thought, well, here she comes motoring in. I thought, bless her heart. And, you know, it's not easy for Marilla to be here at 10 o'clock in the morning. There's a lot that goes on for her to get here at that time. So, you know, we have no excuse. We can all be here. And so anyway, has anybody got something you want to share, something that's on your heart? I know we've got people away visiting family and going to places warm in the sun and all that, but the ones that are here, if anyone's got something to share, this is your chance.
I just want to thank the Lord. It was really, really in my heart to go to the women's conference, and so I had just paid a really big bill of car repair. I'm sure others know about that. And so I was, you know, well, I'm going regardless, you know, but, you know, it would be nice to have funds before. And I designed jewelry for the Dream Cycle Museum. And that was the biggest order I have ever had from that. I mean, it was double what I normally get. So God did it. God did it. Because He wants me to go too.
Amen. So what Jan's referring to, and I sent out an email to all the ladies from the church that I have your email addresses, is in June the 9th to the 11th, there's going to be a conference in Seattle with the Tabernacle of Praise people. So that's going to be happening in June. Okay, it's doing offering. Oh, Mary's coming up.
So on Wednesday we talked about discipleship and how God is moving on every heart, and anyway, so I, like yesterday and the day before, I got to deliver Mother's Day flowers, and some of you guys have heard this, but some haven't, but anyways, Mother's Day flowers, and on Friday when I delivered Mother's Day flowers, I actually ended up at a wrong house delivering the flowers to a wrong house, but I'm trying to find the house, trying to find the lady and who these flowers belong to. Anyways, as it ends up, so here I am at the wrong house. There's another girl that I have not seen for probably 25 to 30 years. And she is not, she doesn't live in Chase. This house is in Chase. She doesn't live in Chase. She ends up in Chase picking up something at this house. And I end up at the wrong house, and here we collided. It was a divine intervention of God for us to meet together. We're both at this one house, you know, at this wrong house. So I have not seen this girl for 25, 30 years. And I just know that, anyways, I ended up praying with her, and it was just a God, a real God divine intervention on her behalf for us to meet there. And then yesterday, so, you know, we're full, right? So yesterday I go and I deliver flowers again, and every, you know, because I'm delivering Mother's Day flowers, I just would assume that every flower was for Mother's Day. And I went up to this one, and I couldn't really find where the house was. I was kind of in the carport, and her house was way up top or something. And so I called her, and I says, excuse me. I says, is this, I don't know exactly where your house is. I'm in the carport, but where are you, you know? And she goes, oh, she says, I'm up here. And she came from up top, and she started to walk down towards me. And as she walked down towards me, I said, oh, I'm on my phone. I said, oh, I see you, you know. So I hung up, and I went to deliver her flowers. And I said, well, happy Mother's Day, because I just assumed it was for Mother's Day. And she goes, no, she said, these flowers are not for Mother's Day. And I went, oh. And I'm thinking next is birthday. And she just looked at me, and she goes, my husband passed away this week. And this woman was 30 years old. Like, she was not very old. So I ended up praying with her and really ministering to her. So, again, it was another divine appointment. So we really are disciples, and the harvest is plenty, and we just got to be there at the right time, at the right place, because we are full. We are full on the inside, full of life, and people need life. Yeah.
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day. Oh, what was I going to say? Mother. Yeah, my mother, my mother's, I think, can't remember how long she, I think it's about 5 years or so. I can't even remember when my mom passed away. It's a few years, yeah. But you know what? Mothers, talk about giving, right? Talk about giving. You know, from the day of conception, mothers start giving, right? You know, that might not make sense to you, but maybe to mothers it does, right? So when you know you're pregnant, right? The mother goes, and that's in her on her mind. When she's pregnant, it's on her mind right now, right? And so she is in her mind. She's going to prepare. She's starting to prepare, right? For that delivery day, she's preparing. But talking, you know, Mother's Day is just an awesome illustration of giving, right? Because from the first day she knows she's pregnant, she's preparing. And so she's going, and she's throughout her pregnancy, she has to give. And she has to prepare from that first day. My, oh, my. And, you know, and then finally, her child is born, right? And then the fun begins, right? The work begins. The giving begins, right? Then she starts giving of herself. See, this is all... It's all about she's giving from her very self. Yeah. And of course, we all grew up with mother, didn't we? Right? Every one of us. Maybe we can't remember all the things Mom did for us. But she did a lot for us. And where could we go? Where do we go when we're hurting? Where do we go when we have a need as small children? There's one place. Well, nothing. Let's go ask Mom. Let's go seek Mom, right? She's got all the answers. Yeah. I don't know about your mom, but my mom, she was so loving. My, you never heard a bitter word, not much anyway, maybe once in a blue moon, there was bitter words coming out of, and you know, can't remember. I don't think there was any even. Yeah, we would get a few straps now and then, but you know. Mom was there all the time. Dad wasn't there. Of course, he was out working and stuff, right? Mom was at home. And I'm sorry I'm taking so long here with this, but talk about giving. Like, I come home, even when I come home from work, after I was working for a while, you come in a house, and guess what the first thing you smelled? Mom is baking buns. Ooh, you could smell it all the way through the house, right? Oh my, I can hardly wait. And her buns were good, I tell you. And you could smell it all through the house. But, you know, it was like the whole family circled around Mom, right? All the kids, maybe we're all spoiled, I don't know. But we were all circled around Mom. Mom could do everything. Mom could tell me what clothes to wear, and, you know, she always had an answer. But the important thing for this day is that Mom was a giver. She gave and she gave, right? Talk about an illustration of giving. She gave unconditionally. She was kind of like an example of Christ, right? She was. Because she gave of herself unconditionally so the family would be provided for. So thank God for mothers this day. You are so precious. You are so wonderful and good. You know, someday you're going to be rewarded. You're going to be well rewarded, you know, for being a faithful mother. So we got to thank Mom this day. Got to thank for our mom. Even though a lot of our moms, if you're my age, she's probably gone already, right? But the memory's still there, right? And it's like it's in your... It's like in your genes. I know Dad's probably carried the genes, but my Mom carried the love. She carried the love. And that love was enough for the whole family. So, Father, I thank you for Mom's this day. I thank you, Lord, that she was a good example of giving. So, Father, we can even give this day, Lord. Lord, because you gave, first of all, you gave your life, Lord. So, Father, actually, all the honor and the glory belongs to you, Father. Because who created mothers but you, Lord? We thank you, Father, for creating mothers, Lord. We wouldn't be the same if it wasn't for Mom. So bless you as you give this morning, right? Yeah, may your heart be filled with warmth as you give accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I took enough of your time, to Max. So.
I just want to share something with you. I should have shared it earlier, but I was reminded of it as I was sitting. One of my son's friends I met many years ago, he was living with his auntie. His mom had had enough of being a mother, I guess. I don't know. She's just going through a hard time, I guess. And she gave him up to her aunt, to her sister, to look after him. Anyway, he came into our home, and I just felt a special bond towards him. And so I tried to nurture him a little bit. And you don't know the effect you'll have on somebody, but when you have the heart of God, he shows you how to love those that don't feel loved. So this boy's name is Kyle, and I'm driving to church this morning, and he texts me. He said, "On this special day, I want to take a moment to wish you a very happy Mother's Day. You are an amazing mother in every way. Your dedication, patience, and love for your family is a blessing every day. You're always there for them, no matter what, and your wavering support and encouragement are truly admirable. So today, I hope you take some time to relax, pamper yourself, and enjoy the love and appreciation of your family. You deserve all the happiness in the world." What a blessing. I wasn't feeling too good this morning. A little bit down. Struggles. You know, everyday struggles. Loss of a grandchild. Just different things. Didn't hear from all my children yet today, so I was a bit down, but God knows. He's so good. He knows. He knows your heart. And he knows what you need to hear when you need to hear it. And so I just want to give him the glory right now. Mm-hmm. And the praise, because he lifts you up. Even when you don't think you can be lifted up. So thank you, Kyle. And thank you, God, for loving me and sharing this son's heart. Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's good. Well, the Lord knows where we're at, doesn't he? He knows all the things that we're going through, and he's always there for us. Amen. So Mary did up some beautiful gifts for the mothers for today. We didn't even get a chance to thank her publicly, but for the moms that are here, you're going to be blessed when you leave today. Thank you, Lord. Just pray for a minute. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to share with your people the Word of God. Thank you for those who are watching online. We ask your blessing upon each one, for those that are here, and then for those that are away, Lord. We just ask that you be with them in a special way. Minister to every need, and we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Fill my words, my mouth with your words in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I was asked to speak for Mother's Day, and I'm thinking, But in the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment is with a promise. It's in Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And I've got two friends that live down in Chilliwack, and they must have really honored their parents, because Alice is 98 and Mary will be 103 this month. And, you know, they've truly honored their parents. They did. And just they're still alive and actually doing quite well considering their age and the situations they're in. In the book of Ruth, there are two women that I want to focus on. And Naomi and her husband Elimelech went to Moab because there was famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. Naomi had two sons. So they're over there with the Moabites. Elimelech dies, and the two sons then took wives. And Her son's names are interesting. I was wishing Darren would be here so he'd know that I look up names too. But Malon, his name meant sick. And Chilion, his name meant consumption and failing. Like, don't ever name your children names like that. Anyway, they dwelt there for 10 years with these two wives they had, and then they both died. Both the sons died. So Naomi's left with two daughters-in-law. She's got Orpah, whose name meant mane or beautiful long hair, and Ruth, whose name meant friend. Naomi decides to return to her own land because the Lord has visited his people with bread. So their barley's growing again, the wheat's growing. She tells the daughters-in-law to return to their father's homes. They have been kind to her, and she blessed them, asking the Lord to deal kindly with them. There was a lot of weeping, and Orpah did return to her father's home, but not Ruth. She clung to Naomi. I'm going to read from Ruth chapter 1, and starting in verse 14. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clung to her, and she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God my God. When you die, where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you from me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, Naomi stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, and it happened when they came to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. For I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi?" I think it meant pleasant. "Since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me." So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, it's her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. So Naomi actually blamed God for her choices. She now wants to be called Mara, or bitter. But Naomi had Ruth. She had a loyal daughter-in-law who had traveled back to Bethlehem with her. Ruth had embraced Naomi's God, and Naomi had so much to be thankful for. She really did. I know she was, you know, she was lost her husband and her sons, but she still had lots to be thankful for. And so we need to develop an attitude of gratitude, even when life is difficult. We see through the rest of the story that Ruth becomes a provider through working in Boaz's fields, where she gleans. Ruth married him, and Naomi was cared for the rest of her life. God is so into details. God sent this Naomi and Elimelech to a heathen land so that one day Ruth could come to Israel to be part of an amazing drama. She would become the mother of Obed, who had a son named Jesse, and he was the father of David, who became king of Israel. And then there's another amazing mother I want to look at, and it's just in the next book in 1 Samuel, and in chapter 1 it starts, and going to verse 3 to 7. "This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year after year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Man alive. This story is Elkanah. He has two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Hannah was barren. She did not have children. But Peninnah had no trouble producing children. But she was jealous of Hannah because her husband actually loved Hannah more. So Peninnah taunted her. And Hannah cried. I mean, that was harsh. But you know what? Elkanah says to her in verse 8, he says, "And then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?' So Hannah, after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, she arose after eating and drinking. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish." That had to be a hard time. Hannah desperately wanted a child, and she was heartbroken. In those days, it was considered a curse if a woman didn't have children. You know, in Africa, they still believe that way. Anyway, Hannah could have been very bitter. She could have lashed out at her husband, and she could have lashed out at his other wife and belittled her. She didn't complain to others. Instead, she went to God. She loved her husband. She didn't nag him. And I think that's a good example for all of us. Amen. I knew I'd get a couple of amens on that one. Hannah went to the Lord and wept in anguish before him. She promised to dedicate her child to the Lord, even though he would be a gift from God to her. She was going to give him back. When Eli the priest saw Hannah, he thought she was drunk and told her to put the wine away. In verse 15, she said, Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have, which you have asked of him." And I just love that, you know, he blessed her. And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Thank you, Lord. The Lord remembered Hannah. And she had a son, Samuel. And that means heard by God. Hannah kept her word. She's a model of a godly mother. As a mother, I believe Hannah sowed into Samuel's life for the few short years she had him. She taught him to trust God, to pray, to seek God first in every situation. She dedicated him totally to the Lord. She would get to see him yearly when he went to the house. She would get to see him. They'd go to the house of the Lord to present their offerings. And she would see her son Samuel. But she left him there with the priest. Samuel was ministering to Eli the priest and would soon hear the Lord call his name and speak to him. There's a beautiful prayer that Hannah prayed in 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 to 10. It's just beautiful, but there's one part in there. It says in verse 5, "Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble." I really believe that the barren one was Hannah. and she had borne one. She had Samuel. Then she had five more. That's six. And she said she has borne seven. And she and I really believe that she was speaking prophetically of Jesus, who would be coming down that line, because that line was going to include Jesus. Peninnah had many children, but she also had a bad attitude towards Hannah, and now Peninnah is feeble. That's what an ungrateful heart does. It steals our joy and eventually your strength and your health. So it's really, really important to cultivate a grateful heart. Because, you know, I really haven't shared my testimony, I guess not for a long time. And I just thought there were some things that happened in my life that maybe would be a blessing to hear today. My family was blessed with godly parents. Mom and Dad were saved in a Holy Ghost meeting a few years before I was born. My brother Dwayne and my sister Dee and I have memories of Dad's finishing Bible school. And I can remember that. That's my first memories, being in Bible school. And then the call of God on his life to the ministry. He pastored in Alberta, east of Leduc, and eventually went into the evangelistic work. He was part of a group of men who held campaigns in the prairies. They also were always off on a campaign somewhere to go and, you know, win the lost. And other parts of Canada. And many came to know the Lord through their ministry. My mom was a worshiper and a prayer warrior. She moved in the word of knowledge and discernment, and that was a real asset in Dad's ministry. And in spite of the presence of God in our home, the time came when all three of us kids grew cold toward the Lord. We launched out to live our own lives, forsaking our parents' guidance. Mom passed away in 1971, and she was like the Hall of Faith folks in Hebrews 11:39. All these died, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Mom was only 62 when she graduated, and it's my greatest regret that she didn't live to see her children, her wayward children, come to the Lord and have her prayers answered. She didn't get to see that. I know she knows we're all in. I know that. But we didn't get to share that joy with her. Dad carried on in the ministry and eventually taught in a Bible school in Swan River, Manitoba for quite a few years. In 1974, I was reading a book by David Wilkerson, The Vision. We were living in Vancouver. And my husband just sort of casually said, you know, what's that book all about? And I said, well, it's about the things that are going to happen in the world, and there's going to be a lot of bad things coming down. And because we used to vacation in Maple Lake, and it was always fun when we were there because it was summertime and everybody was in a good mood and it was happy time, he said, well, maybe it's time we moved to Maple Lake. And believe it or not, we did. In 1974, we moved to Maple Lake, east of Enderby. And we moved there because we wanted to get our kids away from the east end of Vancouver. We bought 5 acres with an old house that needed a lot of TLC. My dad came up and he helped us during his summer break. We made the house livable, and we were able to move in that summer. We lived at the end of Kingfisher Road, and I see that as God's set up for me. The Kingfisher of man was about to reel me in. In 1975, Dad felt convicted that he wasn't fasting and praying enough or anymore. He needed to focus on his family. But when he talked to the Lord about it, the Lord asked him a question. He said, when are you going to give those kids to me? And Dad said, well, it's flabbergasted. He said, I've given them to you, Lord. He He said, well, you give them to me and then you take them back. So Dad put all three of us on the altar. He said, that's it, Lord. They're all yours. Do as you please. Within about a year, all three of us were back serving the Lord. And this time there was no turning back. Praise the Lord. Dwayne was first. His crisis was his wife. Karen, who was raised a Catholic, had joined the Jehovah's Witnesses. He phoned me in a panic, and he said, how can I get a hold of Dad? I've got to get him up here. He says, Karen's about ready to go stand on the street with those Awake magazines. And he said, I need Dad to come and talk to her. Get some sense into that girl. So that's what Dad did. He went up there for Christmas and spent Christmas with them. And Karen was very, very defensive about her faith. And Dad just shared the gospel with her. He didn't condemn her or anything, give her a bad time. But what was really neat, and I didn't even find this out until we were discussing what had happened when Karen came to the Lord at my brother's funeral, when he went down for his funeral. Apparently, Dad was talking to Karen, and all of a sudden, Dwayne got up and left the room, went into their bedroom, knelt down at the bed, and confessed his sins to the Lord and rededicated his life to the Lord. He didn't even say anything to Karen. He just did it. And then while Dad was there, they had gone to a church, and one of the first things that Karen said, why did they have the flag up at the front? You know, I thought this is supposed to be a church. So there was things like that she was questioning everything. But Dwayne just walked it out, one day she said to him, she said, you made a promise, we made a promise to each other that whatever we did, we would do together. And she said, I'm going to the Kingdom Hall and you're going to your church down there, Bethel. And she said, this isn't right. And he said, well, he said, you could come with me, but he said, I don't think you'd really like it. He said, it's not, like what you're used to. She said, well, I'm going anyways. And she said, the funny thing was about him, every time they'd go, as soon as the service was over, they'd leave. He'd say, we've got to go. And she said, and I knew that he was making me leave because she said, I heard that they swing from the chandeliers and they roll on the floor. And she said to him, we're not going. We're going to stay today. And what it was they were giving an altar call. So they gave an altar call, and she was convicted. And she said, I was waiting, and nobody was doing anything weird. It was just like people were praying. And she said she went forward and accepted the Lord. And that was it. And they served in that church for years. It was in San Jose. I'm so thankful that Dad went that. But he didn't lead her to the Lord when he was there at Christmas. He just went and talked to her and went back to the Bible school. And he told my brother, he said, Dwayne, you've got your mother's Bible. He said, any questions you've got, just look in there. The answers are there. And they did, and served the Lord for a long time. It was beautiful. My crisis came shortly after. It was on May 19th, 1976. And what led up to that was my middle child named Kimberly was going through a very difficult season in her life, and I was afraid I was losing her. She was only 14, and although we took our family out of Vancouver, out of the East End, we were in the middle of Hippieville out in Maple Lake, and everything that I thought we moved away from was available right down the road, free for the taking. I started to cry out to the Lord because it seemed like he'd given up on me. And I thought, what can I do? Like, I'd pray about my daughter. She'll say now, I don't know what was going on with me. She'd get on the bus in the morning to go to school and come home on the bus at night and never been to school all day. And I said, what in the world are you doing? And she was friends with some of the Native kids in Enderby, and they had problems, so she'd just go and they'd sit in the park, or they'd go under the bridge in Enderby, and she'd just listen to them tell their problems. And she didn't have any answers, but she was compassionate. She ended up doing that kind of work as a living. But anyway, it was just like I really felt like I was losing her. And I was crying out to the Lord, and the Lord was not answering me. There was nothing changing. No, there was no nothing. And, you know, in those days, you'd watch a program on TV, and they'd say, lay your hands on the TV to make a connection. Well, I over there got my hands on the TV, and nothing's happening. Anyway, Dad was coming through, and so I was really excited. He was driving from Saskatoon to the coast, and so he came all the way to Enderby, to Mabel Lake, after, you know, that trip. And he had a passenger with him, so I waited till the passenger had got bedded down, and I started to tell Dad my trouble, and he just looked at me and he said, oh, I'm really tired, I'm going to bed. And I thought, even Dad's giving up on me. And so I went to bed that night, and I cried out to the Lord. I said, I really need help. And I said, Dad's not even, you know. And the thing is that I had learned a scripture in summer camp as a kid, Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardens his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. And I was really beginning to believe that this is it. I'd done it, you know. Like, I mean, I'd made all kinds of deals with the Lord. When the kids were growing up, if they were sick, you heal them, and I'll take them to church. And I'd do it for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then I'd flunk. And people from the church would say, can we take them to church for you? Oh, sure, yeah, take them, away you go. I'm not bragging, believe me. But anyway, I knew I had hardened my neck. I knew I had. My husband was not a believer, and he was a tough guy. And he constantly found fault with my parents, and I knew that he would be livid if I really started to serve the Lord. And even though I tried so many times, I'd always caved into his bullying too. But anyway, when I read that book, The Vision, I remember standing at my sink in Vancouver, looking out over the rooftops and saying, and this had... I just, God, could you deliver me from the alcohol in this home? That was what was happening. I wasn't doing the drinking, but anyway, there was alcohol in the home, and it was every day was just, you never knew what was coming home. and so that's actually what the Lord did. He answered that prayer when we moved to Mabel Lake. But then after we got up there, my husband said, you know, I gave up a good job, that I've got a good union. He had all the benefits. I'm going back to Vancouver to work. And I suddenly realized God had answered my prayer. He'd delivered me from the alcohol. It wasn't coming home every night. So, you know, he would come home. He'd be home for a few days every month. But it was so different in the house. Okay. Praise the Lord for Mom and Dad's prayers. Because in that short time, you know, those that he was back at the coast and I was up there, I'm going through this trauma with my daughter. And so Dad, when when he was there that morning, when he was getting up the next day to leave to go to Vancouver, I just sort of gave up because I thought he's not going to talk to me about anything. And he says, you know what, Max? He says, I think that you should go to a Women's Glow meeting. And I'm thinking, what's that? You know, where would I find out about that? And he knew that Julie Buchenauer, who was the one who had started the Glow in the Okanagan, was in Kelowna. And he said, well, there's a lady in Kelowna. We could find out, you know, when there's going to be a meeting or where they have them. And something that I didn't know at that time was that my mom was part of a prayer group in Seattle. They lived in Seattle. And she was a part of a prayer group that had been meeting and praying about starting a women's ministry. And although Mom was never part of a GLOW, she was part of the prayer group that met to start a GLOW. And And, you know, how, see what I mean about details? Like, I had no idea that my mom had interceded, and she's already gone to be with the Lord at that point, when I was in my crisis. And God said, but, you know, there was seed sown on your behalf. So Dad drove me down to Kelowna to meet Julie Buchenauer to find out where's in the GLOW meeting. And we found out that there was going to be one the next week in Vernon, and that there was also some happening in Salmon Arm at that time, too. You know, I just think how God is so faithful. Dad said the reason he never talked to me or, you know, spent a lot of time with me, he says the Lord showed him that he wasn't the one that was going to be leading me back to himself. So he was just, he just let me be, you know. I mean, God had another, somebody else. So that day, May the 19th, 1976, Julie so sweetly led me back into the presence of the Lord, and I found out that God hadn't cut me off, that I was still part of his family, that I could still serve him. I tell you, it was awesome. And he'd been there the whole time. He'd never given up on me. So within days, I took a team of friends. I told my friends. Actually, Julie, she blew the whistle on me. She phoned somebody at Mabel Lake and said, do you know this Maxine? She lives up there on Kingfisher Road. And so she came flying down the road, and the truck pulls in, and we'd been driving to hockey with our sons for years, and I didn't know she was a Christian. And she said, I heard something happened in your life. And I thought, how in the world would she hear that? How could that happen? And she said, well, I had a phone call. You've been, oh. And so then I looked at her, and I thought, well, and she said, well, my son was in an accident, and as we, he was in the ditch when I got there, and he'd been on his motorbike, and he'd been going too fast and whatever. And she said, I got down in that ditch, and I held him in my arms, and I promised the Lord if he would just get Dirk out of that ditch and back on his feet, and I'd serve him. And so she said, I've been serving the Lord for 2 years now. I said, you've been in the Secret Service. So anyway, we took her and another neighbor lady that, you know, she said, oh, yeah, I used to teach Sunday school in a Lutheran church. So she wanted to come to a GLOW. And then another gal who was, we all knew she was religious. But anyway, we asked her if she'd like to come, and she was excited to come because she'd been praying for us. So we went to the GLOW in Vernon, and then found out next week there was one in Salmon Arm. So we went there, too. And they got refired and filled with the Holy Spirit. And we just, it was good. It was an awesome time. Before long, we were regulars at a GLOW. We started a Bible study. We didn't have any church out there. There was nothing. So we started having church services in the community hall. And we found a pastor in Vernon who was willing to drive out in the middle of a Sunday afternoon and do a service for us. And sometimes we'd have to clean up the community hall from the night before if there'd been a dance or something, and we'd get that place all spiffed up. And so we were in with, I was in with both feet, we all were. Well, my husband wasn't too happy about it, but he thought it was likely a passing fancy. After all, I likely needed a crutch. And you know, that saying, you just need a crutch. I thought, you know, it's more like an iron lung we need, not just a crutch. But you know, bless his heart, he found out that he needed the same crutch before he passed away, and he did accept the Lord. So I'm thrilled about that. My younger sister Dee was in San Diego, married and with her husband and family, and she came to the Lord just shortly after that. By this time, Dad had remarried, and Pearl had came into our lives. So Dad and Pearl came to visit, and at the same time, my sister and her family came up from San Diego and met at Maple Lake. And one morning, Dee disappeared. We didn't know where in the world she'd gone. And her husband This is kind of funny, actually. He comes flying in the house. He says, "Where's Dee?" And I said, "I don't know. I didn't even know she wasn't in their fifth wheel or whatever it was, trailer." And he says, "Well, the place is flooding out there." And I guess they'd left the tap open, and my husband went and turned the water on so that they have water when they got up. And so anyways, the water was flying all over the place in the trailer. And his wife is missing. And here she'd gone, walked up to the B&B where Mom and her dad and Pearl were staying. And she just went up because she knew they were leaving that day, and she wanted them to pray with her before they left. And so I'll let her tell you this story when she comes to visit us. But here we were. All of us were in, you know. God, when you put your kids on the altar, when you just leave them in God's hands, it's amazing how he orchestrates things. And so I'm just so thankful. My mother is in glory with her Savior. But Mom sowed into her grandkids the short time she had with them. She had thoughts about every one of them and what the things that they would accomplish. You know, life wasn't easy for my parents because we moved all over the country. Wherever they felt that the Lord wanted them to go, they felt compelled to go, they went. And it was to win souls. They knew that Jesus was coming back in their lifetime, and they needed to get everybody into the kingdom that they could. And so, you know, perhaps their prayers bought us some more time. I don't know, because we all know Jesus is coming soon. And, you know, Dad and I talked about the rebellious kids they had. And he said, you know, we didn't have the help that you have now, all the books, all the teaching on raising a family. And he said, I know we did some things that weren't likely the best for our family. But I don't fault them for it one bit at all. I really don't. I think, you know, I'm glad that the Lord gave me a streak of rebellion, because I rebelled against my husband the day I made Jesus the Lord of my life. And I wasn't going back. I knew it. I made a decision. I was, you know, so thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. But there's only one way that we can get to heaven. Amen? We must accept that free gift of eternal life that Jesus provided for us when he died on the cross for the sins of all mankind. A free gift for us, but it cost him everything. Praise God that Jesus died 2,000 years ago and was resurrected, defeating the devil, sin, sickness, the grave. And I just thought it would be neat for us as a church to read John 3:16-17, speak it out for anybody that's listening in, because there might be somebody today that doesn't know that Jesus died for them. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Thank you, Lord. In Hebrews 9:22, it says, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The blood of Jesus, he purchased our freedom from sin. Glory to God. You know, the cross of Calvary changed everything. Absolutely everything. Sin and sickness have no hold over us. Death cannot paralyze us with fear. Once we accept Jesus, we belong to him. He has gone to prepare a place for us. He's promised that in his word. Heaven is now our eternal home. We're free to be all he designed us to be. This is our heritage. This is what we have. This is good stuff. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then today's your day. This is the day to do it. We trust that you can just pray a simple prayer. You can just ask the Lord, just have mercy on me, Lord. Forgive me for my sins. And wash me with the blood of Jesus. and help me live my life for you and take me home to be with you one day. It's so simple. It's so simple that a lot of people miss it. They think there's this big list of do's and don'ts that you have to do this and you can't do that anymore. It's not like that at all. And I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for the heritage I have. I'm thankful for the parents that laid their lives down for the gospel's sake. And, I my greatest regret is that my mom didn't get to see me walking with the Lord. I know she does, but she didn't. We didn't get to do it together. So just thank you for the opportunity to share today. It's maybe not a regular Mother's Day message, but it's the truth. It really is. It's my story, and I told the truth. So God bless you. And if you're watching online and you haven't accepted Jesus, just do it. Don't wait another day. Be like me. Rebel against all the other voices that try to tell you that you can't do it. You shouldn't do it. All the rest of it. Amen. God bless you.